Hallelujah. The title of the message that I have today is called Sin is Like a Credit Card. We know a lot about debt. In fact, our nation is so full of debt right now that I've heard people say there's no chance of it ever getting paid off, and I really agree with that. I really believe that we're kind of headed in a direction that eventually it's going to spell disaster in a way where the world leaders are going to try to gather together and do all they can to take control of the situation. Scriptures point that out very clearly. Sin is like a debt. So I want to give a compassionate and realistic look at sin like a debt and how to keep it from becoming a debt again. You know, we've been saved from our sin, which is like a debt. But the problem is it becomes a debt all over again in many people's lives. Because if they don't stop totally of what brought about that problem, it becomes just a big issue again. This happened in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul had to deal with a situation. We're talking about the church. We've been called to put away the old life and put on the new. Well, this one fellow had not put away the old life yet. He was having a fornication problem. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, an abomination in the eyes of the Lord, and it's something that needs to be dealt with, and Paul is dealing with it. And he goes on to say in some other verses, verse 4, he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that's what we need to do. If we're going to operate in the power of God, we always need to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul is very, very, very serious about this. He says in verse 11, he says, I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that has caught a brother, if he be a fornicator, if he be covetous, an idolater, a railer, a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat. In other words, you need to excommunicate such an individual in order to keep the church pure as it ought to be. You know, he's very, very serious here now. Here's a known fornicator. He must be given over to Satan to protect the flock and to purge his flesh. That's why he was given over to Satan. Well, now we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and here we find out that that's exactly what they did. They went and dealt with the problem, and Paul is speaking to them. He says, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent of it. For though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though it were but for a season. When we're dealing with sin, it is not an easy issue.
Right.
No one likes to be corrected. No one likes to be rebuked. Nobody gets all excited when you're told, look, you're doing this wrong. You need to change this. The Word of God says you need to change this. And so, obviously, they were a little bit sorrowful. Nobody likes to be spanked by their leader. But he says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. Ah, that was the outcome that Paul had hoped for. He says, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. But godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And I could say a lot about that. A lot of people are sorrowful because they have a credit card debt. But you know what? If they haven't solved the problem that got them in the debt situation in the first place, which is a lot of times a love for things, or it's an easy way to go, and then they're not responsible to pay it off, they end up doing it again once they're done with the credit card. And back into the credit card they go. You know, that's an easy thing to get involved with. So the whole purpose of this is we need to find out what the problem is and deal with the problem. Well, that's the attitude they took when they discovered this. They realized that how wrong it was. And in 2 Corinthians 7:11, this is exactly what happened. He says, for behold, this self-same thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, I like what he says, what carefulness it wrought in you. See, we need to be careful in our Christian walk. What clearing of yourselves. In other words, how are we going to deal with this problem? Are we going to deal this and do just as Paul said in the sight of God? Yea, he says, what indignation. Yea, what fear. What vehement desire. What zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things, you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Amen. With a credit card debt, that's exactly the desire we need to have, to be clear of the debt. Hallelujah. And I want to minister to you today concerning that. A person might repent of irresponsible actions in regards to a credit card debt, and that is good. However, now comes the process of coming free from the accumulated debt. You know, you might say, oh God, I'm so sorry, and I realize I've done wrong. God says, I forgive you, no problem. But now you've got $10,000 of accumulated debt that now you have to deal with. We have to live with our mistakes, you know, that we've made in life. And sometimes, like a credit card, it takes time to fully overcome those mistakes. The bad news is, if we haven't solved or truly repented of what got us in the credit card debt to begin with, then there's a good chance that we will end up right back where we started from. Repentance requires responsibility.
Amen.
Responsibility means reliability and trustworthiness. How can a person be reliable or trustworthy if they haven't stopped what made them reliable in the first place? The Bible tells us that this is a lust problem. It says in James 1:13, he says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, which has to do with an ungodly pleasure or delight. When I mean ungodly, meaning he's not waiting on God for the provision, he's using that credit card and getting himself into debt to get what he wants. He says he's drawn away of his own lust and he's enticed. When lust hath conceived, now listen, this is what the scripture says, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And that's a dangerous thing. We're told and exhorted in 1 John 2:15 to 17, it says, love not the world. He's speaking to the Christian. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and thirdly, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And we're going to find out what the will of God is soon enough. You know, lust problems develop when we have love problems. Love in regards to godly, sincere affection and devotion. Genuine love is reliable, trusting, caring, unselfish. Just to name a little bit about what true love is. Whereas lust is careless, unreliable, not trustworthy, and very selfish. Lust brings about a desire to receive things without asking God first or waiting for Him to supply, as I already mentioned. James 4:2 says, you know, you lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. You know, a lot of the wars that we have in the world today are the result of that. It's the result of lusting for something that they have. And instead of asking God, amen, and looking to God as the source of all things, they would rather lust after it and war against others just so they can have. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. He tells them right, straight out, you adulterer and you adulteress. Wow, talking about a slap in the face. Know ye not, he says, that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. What do we know about adulterers and adulteresses? Number one, they're lazy. We could go in a whole message about that. And number two, they're selfish. There's a couple of people in the Bible who fell into the trap of lusting in the Bible. Number one of the most famous ones, but thank God he repented, was King David. He got lazy. At a time when he should have been out to war with the other kings, he decided to stay home. Well, because he decided to stay home, his eyes beheld a very beautiful woman who belonged to another man. As a result of that, he lusted after her, and soon he had a relationship with her. And see, he became selfish. And boy, oh boy, that didn't go over too good with God. And so, you know, he got rebuked by the prophet. But you know what? What's precious about David? Yeah, he made a big, big mistake. A lot of us make big mistakes. He repented of it. However, sin is like a credit card, just as I preached. Now he's going to have to live with the consequences. And one of the very first consequences we find out is that when Bathsheba became pregnant, the child died. And many other little problems developed. Even you can read it all about in the scriptures. It's like a grapevine that reveals everything about King David and all the problems that he had as a result. But you need to know something. David repented, but he did have to live with the results of his mistake. Look at Samson, the same thing. Samson, mighty man of God. Oh, yes. But he had a lust problem. And that lust problem got him to where he lost both eyes. And so as a result, he suffered greatly, but he repented. That's a sign to us. But had he not repented, he would have gone right straight to hell. Even though he was a mighty man of God, he would have gone straight to hell because his sin nearly killed him. But yet, when he came back to God and repented, he gave his life. The Bible says there's no greater love than to lay down your life for another. Well, that's exactly what Samson did. And conquered more Philistines than he had done in his entire life. Then there's the Apostle Peter. Now, Peter fell into a different kind of debt, the debt of pride. We talked about the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. Peter fell in a different kind of debt, the debt of pride. He had to learn the hard way about what it is to wait for the voice of God, wait to hear the Lord. As I preach this, I'm thinking back to Joshua, same thing. When Joshua, same thing, a pride had risen up a little bit in his heart, and they went out to go against Ai, and he did not realize there was sin in the camp. And boy, oh boy, did he get a spanking. He learned to seek the Lord first. Well, Peter was like this a little bit. And as I talk about, this is common to all men. He had the debt of pride, trying to do things in his own strength and heart, rather than waiting on the strength and the understanding and wisdom of the Spirit of God. Do you realize that sin results from man's will being emphasized? Sin will result from man's will being emphasized. Sin results from man's will. You know, I want my way. And whereas salvation results from God's will being emphasized and being lived out by faith. And you say, oh, that's such a difficult thing, yes? Faith is a little bit difficult because you have to be willing to die to yourself in order to operate in faith. But you got to remember something. When Jesus comes back, he's looking to see if there is faith. Amen. And he's only coming back for those that are looking for him. That's scripture. I'm not mine. Well, you know, God gave Peter an opportunity for redemption. And I love that precious word. God is a redeemer. And he asked Peter, do you love me? Three times he asked him that. The same question, to reinstate him for the three times that Peter, see, he denied the Lord. He felt he could do it in his own strength, and he found out that his strength failed every time. But the Lord was a redeemer, and he knew Peter's heart, and it was a painful thing. But he says, do you love me? Well, you know, the Lord forgave Peter, and everything was erased. But now he had to deal with what he did, the denial. And the only way he can begin to build up credit with the Lord is, just as what Jesus said, feed my sheep. Three times he said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Be a pastor, be a minister, you know, be a bishop, be an apostle, and feed my sheep. Amen. Begin to teach them my word. And that we know very well that he began to do. In the same way for credit card debt, once we realize that we repent of it, we need to begin to pay off those debts. You know, how can we feed others with money when we're in debt financially? We've got to take care of that debt. Amen. We've got to pay that debt. And this is a good time for me to say that there are some financial prosperity ministers who say, yeah, pay your way out of debt. Give to us and your debt will get paid off. Let me tell you something. That's false preaching. The Lord tells us that we need to pay off our debt, not pay the minister in order to get our debt paid. God's Word tells us there's only one kind of debt that we should continue to pay in life. Romans 13:8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Ah, that's the kind of debt He wants us to keep. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. When you fulfill the law, that's a righteous thing. That's a right thing. In other words, that's a good thing. Hallelujah. And so, you want to keep loving each other. Of course, he goes on to say, Romans 13:9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, don't be an adulteress, don't be a murderer, thou shalt not steal, don't be covetous and robbing people, thou shalt not bear witness, don't lie, thou shalt not covet. But if there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended, it's understood in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So you won't murder somebody if you love them. Amen. And if you have a hard time with love, all you got to do is ask God. Ask God to help you loving someone else. And God, who is faithful, will teach you how to love someone the proper way. The Bible says love works no ill to his neighbor. It doesn't cause any problems if you love your neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, amen, and it won't be long, Jesus is coming back, folks. Now is high time to wake up out of your sleep. Amen. Not only pay off those credit cards, but love your brother and your sister. Amen. That's what it's saying. Amen. For now is our salvation nearer than when we had first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So next time you use your credit card, consider this. Am I buying or using this to provide for the flesh? Or am I buying or using this to glorify and bless my Lord? I leave you with the scripture, Colossians 3:23 to 25. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Amen. And not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.
This message, along with 200 more, are free downloads on the www.neaiga.org website. Just look for the downloads page. Please prayerfully consider sending a letter of blessing to Signs, P.O. Box 122, Lisle, spelled L-I-S-L-E-N-Y, 13797, USA. Thank you, my friends, and Maranatha.